For some time, I have thought that Messianic Judaism is not a good name for a religion, because all Judaism is and always has been Messianic. The only question being, who is the real Messiah? Judaism's history has produced a number of false messiahs that include Simon Bar Kokhba in the 2nd century, Shabbatai Zevi in the 17th century, and Menachem Mendel Schneerson of the Chabad most recently. But we know that Yeshua is the real Messiah, so perhaps Yeshuic Judaism or even New Covenant Judaism would be better terms for who we are. But alas, we're stuck with Messianic Judaism. More important than what we're called is what we believe as distinguished from other Judaisms. The most common differences spoken of are that we believe in Yeshua and other Judaisms do not. Also, we believe that the New Testament is Scripture and the other Judaisms do not. Also, we believe that we are in a new covenant and the other Judaisms do not. We also believe that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is active in our lives today, and most of the other Judaisms do not. Finally, most of the other Judaisms believe that God gave Moses an oral Torah known as the Mishnah, and Messianic Judaism does not. Well, these are a lot of differences. But there is even one more that's related to the New Testament, and that is what we Messianics consider Torah, that is the teaching or the law of God, and how we handle Torah that was given to us ages ago. This latter matter of Torah or law of God is also one of the things that distinguishes Messianic Judaism from most of modern Christianity. A key scripture, often wrongly understood, that defines today's Christianity is Romans 6:14, which, rendered in the New King James and similar translations, reads this way: "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." And here are a few other scriptures that are similarly misunderstood, also in the New King James. Romans 7:6, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Galatians 2:19, "For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God." And Galatians 3, at the beginning of 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." So now that I've turned you all into non-Messianic Christians by showing you these passages, let's see if I can rehabilitate you. How do I know that these passages of Scripture have been misinterpreted? It is because Yeshua himself exhorts us to keep the law of God, the Torah. Matthew 5:17-19 says this: "Don't think that I have come to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to complete. Yes, indeed, I tell you that until heaven and earth pass away, not so much as a yud or a stroke will pass from the Torah, not until everything that must happen has happened. So whoever disobeys the least of these mitzvot means commandments, and teaches others to do so, will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever obeys them and so teaches will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And also Matthew 23:23, "Woe to you hypocritical Torah teachers and Purshim," that is the Pharisees, You pay your tithes of mint and dill and cumin, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the Torah, justice, mercy, trust. These are the things you should have attended to without neglecting the others. And Yeshua told this parable after a man approached Yeshua and said, "Rabbi, what good things should I do in order to have eternal life?" And Yeshua said to him, in Matthew 19, 17 to 19, we read, "Why are you asking me about good? There's only one who is good. But if you want to obtain eternal life, observe the mitzvot," that is, the commandments of Torah. The man asked him, "Which ones?" And Yeshua said, "Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, honor father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." Why then do Yeshua's words appear to contradict Paul's words? Paul seems to be saying that we are no longer under the Torah, and Yeshua seems to be saying that obedience to the Torah is a component of our salvation. The answer is that I have switched translations on you from the New King James Version to the Complete Jewish Bible. Whereas the New King James translates Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace," the Complete Jewish Bible translates Romans 6:14, "For sin will not have authority over you, because you are not under legalism but under grace." Stern's Complete Jewish Bible translation of Naaman, some of you, if you look at the Strong's concordance, it gives a form of the word namas, but this is Naaman in the scripture, as legalism, and it translates it legalism rather than the law, and it's not accidental. And nor is it appropriately self-serving. It recognizes a frequent use of another Greek word in the verse, which is chupa, that is commonly translated under. But the Greek word under is peculiar in that it has two meanings. One of them, subject to, is not the right meaning here, because then Romans 6:14 would be saying that we are not subject to God's law. The right meaning here is underneath, so that Romans 6:14 is more correctly translated, "For sin will not have authority over you, because you are not underneath the umbrella of law, but underneath the umbrella of grace for the forgiveness of sin and salvation." And I added that last part, for the forgiveness of sin and salvation, because that's what it's referring to. In other words, while we are subject to God's law, our salvation is no longer dependent upon it, which is a good thing, because we have never fully complied with God's law, nor can we ever. Instead, God has graciously provided his son Yeshua, our Messiah, whose sacrifice of himself takes away our sin when we fail to obey God's law and subsequently repent. Hebrews 9:22 speaks of this as well when it says, "In fact, according to the Torah, almost everything is purified with blood. Indeed, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin." I have had an interest in the commandments of Torah in the New Covenant for some time, and have in fact been writing a book co-authored with our shaliach, Dr. Dan Chester, that's titled New Covenant Torah, The Law of Messiah Compiled as Mitzvot. I had just finished covering the mitzvot listed by Maimonides and was beginning to search for mitzvot in the New Testament when I encountered a great surprise. I had long suspected that the New Covenant scriptures contained law, but what I did not suspect was how much law there actually is. To date, I have only gotten through the book of Matthew, and already I have identified 89 commandments stated either explicitly or implicitly. Although I have read through the New Testament several times, it did not hit me that I was reading law, and probably because I was not looking for law when I was reading it. For example, Matthew 5:13 states, "You are salt for the land, but if salt becomes tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except being thrown out for people to trample on." Now, what's the difference between that and the constructed mitzvah from it? We are to be salt for the earth and not lose our saltiness. Do you see? You see what I'm saying? In other words, you can read in the scriptures what God's will is, but it's not necessarily expressed as thou shalt or thou shalt not. But it's clear that if you're attuned to it, you can see that's what God is telling us. He wouldn't be telling us these things if he didn't want us to comply with it. Okay. Matthew 5:22. "But I tell you that anyone who nurses anger against his brother will be subject to judgment, that whoever calls his brother, you good for nothing, will be brought before the Sanhedrin, that whoever says fool incurs the penalty of burning in the fire of Gehenna." Okay, now that's the scripture. So what's the difference between that and the constructed mitzvah that says we are not to nurse anger against nor despise our brother? You see what I'm saying? In other words, it puts it in a form of direction to us. There is no difference. And that's exactly how Maimonides and others compiled their 613 mitzvot, by going verse by verse, Genesis through Deuteronomy. I still have a few more minutes for giving this message, so let me astound you by sharing with you 89 commandments of God's law that I found in the book of Matthew, a book of the Bible that ostensibly tells us that we are no longer under law. In other words, you're going to see that it's not telling us that. And that's why I've asked my assistants up here, because I know you'll get tired of hearing my voice if I just drone on and on. So they're going to drone on and on, and then you can talk to them about it, okay? All right, let's begin. Now, all of this, remember, is only Matthew, only Matthew. So let's start with chapter 1.
He really just wanted to make sure we stayed awake. Matthew 1:19-21. "We are to know that our salvation is in Yeshua." Matthew 1:19-23. "We are to know that Yeshua was conceived by the Ruach HaKodesh and was born to a virgin." Chapters 3 and 4.
From your husband.
No, it's still in my pink.
I have it different.
Well, this is what you gave me, Rabbi. Hey, you know, if he doesn't give me the right material, it's not my fault. Thank you. You want him to stay awake, don't you? Okay, in chapters 3 and 4, we are told we are to repent of our sins and to be immersed.
Continuing in chapter 4. We are to live according to the word of God, verses 2 through 4. We are not to test the Lord our God, verses 5 and 7. We are to worship the Lord our God and serve him only, verses 8 through 10. We are to be fishers of men, verses 18 and 19.
Chapter 5. Verse 7, we are to be merciful to others. Verse 8, we are to pursue being pure in heart. Verse 9, we are to be makers of peace. Verse 13, we are to be salt for the earth and not lose our saltiness. 17 to 19, we are to obey the Torah and teach Torah obedience to others.
Chapter 21, or verse 21. We are not to commit murder. We are not to nurse anger against or despise our brother. 22. 23 through 24. We are to seek reconciliation with a brother who believes we have sinned against him. Verse 27. We are not to commit adultery. Verses 27 through 29. We are not to lust after a person of the opposite sex who is not our spouse.
Verse 31. We are not to divorce our spouse without first getting a get. Verse 33. We are to keep our vows to the Lord. Verses 33 through 37, we are not to swear oaths, but rather let our yes be yes and our no be no.
Verses 38 through 42, still in chapter 5. Long way to go. We are to bless our enemies and not take vengeance for wrongs they have done to us. 43 to 47. We are to love our enemy. 48. We are to aspire to God's perfection.
Chapters 5 and 6, 6, 22, and 23. We are to be a light for the world and not allow our light to be hidden. That's also in 5, 14 to 16. Chapters 5 and 7. We are to pursue righteousness. That's in 5, 6, 10, 20, 7, 13, and 14. Chapters 5 and 19. We may not divorce our spouse except on the ground of sexual immorality. 31 and 32 of chapter 5 and 19, 3 to 9.
Chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. We are not to give tzedakah for the purpose of being seen. We are not to pray in public in order to be seen. Verses 5 and 6. We are not to pray as do the pagans. Verses 7 through 13. We are to forgive those who have sinned against us. Verses 14 through 15. When we fast, we are not to allow our discomfort to be seen. Verses 16 through 18.
Verses 19 through 24. We are not to allow money to become our idol on earth. Instead, we are to store up wealth in heaven. We are to be generous and not withholding. Verses 22 to 23. We are to trust God for our provisions. 25 to 34. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all else will follow. Verse 33.
Chapter 7. We are to judge ourselves and repent of our own sins before seeking to correct others. Verses 1 through 5. Continuing in verse 6. We are not to preach holiness to those who are closed to it. We are to use what is preached. Verse 6. We are not to preach holiness to those who are closed to it and who will use what is preached to commit sin. Verses 7 through 11. We are to be persistent in our prayers of petitions to God. Verse 12. We are to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Verses 15 through 20. We are to judge prophets according to their fruit.
Chapters 7 and 17. We must hear and act on Yeshua's words if we wish to enter the kingdom of God. That's in 7, 21 through 27 and 17, 4 and 5. Chapter 8. We are not to trust Yeshua. Thank you. We are to trust Yeshua in both his words and in who he is. That's 5 through 13. We are to become disciples of Yeshua and follow him, verses 21 and 22. We are to overcome fear by trusting God, 23 through 27.
Chapter 9. We are to have compassion for and not to isolate ourselves from those who are called to help. 10 through 13. Chapters 9 and 27. We are to have faith in Yeshua for our healing. That's 9, 20 through 22 and 27 through 30. Chapter 10. We are to act on the authority we have been given in Yeshua to cast out demons and to heal. Verse 1. We are to embrace the Great Commission. We have been given to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. 5 through 14.
Continuing in 17 through 23 and also chapter 24, 9. We are to expect and accept that we will be persecuted on account of our faith in Yeshua. 10, 28 through 33. We are not to deny our faith in Yeshua because we fear that men will harm us. Verse 37. We are to love the Lord Yeshua before all others. And 40. We are to receive true disciples of Yeshua in the same way as we receive Yeshua and God the Father.
I'll take it before you go further.
Okay, now we're up to chapter 11, and you can see how many commandments have been either explicitly given or impliedly given just in the book of Matthew. Now, I'm looking at how many are left, and I'm looking at the time we have left, and we do have some time left. So let me do what we do in grade school. You know, everybody stretch, stretch your arms out to the sides. Everybody stretch your arms out to the sides, and everybody stretch your arms up to the ceiling. Now shake your hands. Get your blood flowing. Yeah, now you're all revitalized. I'll tell you, if it wasn't so early and we had so much time, I would just cut it at here because we have made the point. But these are really interesting because as you go through these commandments one after another, it's essentially giving us instruction for all of life with the Lord. So let's on my list here, we've got about another two pages of it. And then we'll close. So let's go ahead and see if we can do that.
Chapter 11. We are to come to Yeshua for spiritual rest, 28 through 30. Chapter 12, verse 8. We are to know that Yeshua is Lord of the Sabbath, 9 through 13. We are not to withhold healing and other compassionate ministry because it is the Sabbath. Verses 30 through 32. We are not to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. We are not to cast out demons from persons who are unrepentant or of little faith and are therefore vulnerable to demons' returns. Verses 43 through 45. We are to consider fellow believers as family. 46 through 50.
Chapter 13. It's hard to see this pink in these red lights. Yeah, okay. Okay. Chapter 15.
We're not to make void the word of God.
Okay, I'm seeing spots up here. I got to tell you, because of these bright lights being in my eye.
That's the next mitzvah. It says, thou shalt not see spots when reading the mitzvah.
Stands where not under that light.
Okay.
Thank you.
There you go.
You like dog and pony shows? Okay. chapter 15, I'm still seeing spots. We are not to make void the word of God by our man-made rules and traditions. That's chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. We are to judge the cleanness of our hearts by how we speak and by what we say. That's verses 18 to 20. Chapter 16, we are to know that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God. Those are verses 13 to 17 and 20. We are to die to our self-interest and follow Yeshua, verse 24. Chapter 16 and 18, we are to know that the Messianic community has authority to make decisions on earth that are reflected in heaven. That's verses 18 through 20.
Chapter 16 and 20. We are to know that Yeshua's death and resurrection were pre-planned and were not accidental. That's 21. It's chapter 20, 17 through 19. Chapter 17. We are to have faith for the power and authority that God has given us. 18 through 21. Chapter 18. We must aspire to the innocence and humility of little children. Verses 1 through 8. We are to bless and not do harm to the faith of children. 4 through 6, 10 through 14. We are not to allow our bodies or parts thereof to lead us into sin. 7 through 9. If our brother sins against us, we are to first go to him alone, then with witnesses, and then, if necessary, seek adjudication by the ecclesia. Ecclesia? Sorry. That's verses 15 through 17. We are to forgive our brothers each time he sins against us, but there is no limit to the number of times. Verses 21 and 2.
Chapter 19. If we want to assure our salvation, we must obey Torah, die to self, and become a follower of Yeshua. Verses 16 to 30. Chapter 20. We are to seek to serve, not to be served. Verses 26, 28, and 23, 11. Chapter 21. We are to have faith for the things for which we pray. Verses 18 to 22. Chapter 22, we are to give our secular authorities that which belongs to them, and to God that which belongs to God. Verses 15 to 21, we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. Verses 33 to 40.
Three-quarters of a page to go. Don't lose heart.
Chapter 23. We are not to call anyone on earth our supreme teacher, follower, or leader. We are to acknowledge God the Father as our supreme Father and Messiah Yeshua as our supreme leader. 8 through 10. We are to be humble and not self-promoting. 11 through 12. We are to comply with the physical things required of us by the Torah while not neglecting Torah's weightier matters such as mercy, justice, and faith. 23. We are to give greater attention to being clean of spirit than being clean of grime and of appearance. 25 through 28. We are to unhesitantly say of Yeshua, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Verse 39.
We are to escape Chapter 24. We are to escape the disasters and turmoils that are prophesied will occur in the end times. Verses 1 through 22. We are not to be beguiled by end time false messiahs and false prophets. That's chapter 24, verses 23 to 26. We are to expect and look for the Messiah's return following the Great Tribulation, verses 20 and verses 13. 29 through 33. Chapters 24 and 25, we are to be alert, expectant, and ready for Messiah's return and being among those taken up to be with the Lord. Verses 37 to 44 and 1 through 13 of chapter 25.
Chapter 25. We are to be good stewards of the little, or as much as we are given. 14 through 30. We are to devote ourselves to loving, protecting, and providing for our fellow man. Verses 31 through 46. Chapter 26. We are to commemorate Yeshua's broken body with unleavened bread and his blood shed for us for forgiveness of our sins with wine. Verses 26 through 29.
Chapter 28. We are to know that Yeshua has been risen from the dead, verses 1 through 6. We are to make disciples of Yeshua from the people of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Yeshua commanded. That's verses 16 to 20.
Let's give them a round of applause for what they've done. Well, there you are, all 89 of them. So I ask you, are we who are New Covenant believers no longer subject to God's law and given a free pass to heaven? Jeremiah prophesied this. Here the days are coming, says Adonai, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though I, for my part, was a husband to them, says Adonai. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Adonai. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. The new covenant law referred to by Jeremiah consists of every word in the Bible that gives us instruction, and that is applicable to us. Notwithstanding, we understand that some commandments are applicable to Jews and not to Gentiles. Some only to women and not to men. Some to parents and not to children. And some are not applicable to anyone today, literally, because today we have no working Levitical priesthood and no temple in which to be able to conduct animal sacrifices. To summarize, the purpose of this message has been twofold. One, to put the lie to the prevalent Christian understanding that obedience to God's law or Torah is not required of today's believers in Yeshua. And second, to highlight that the new covenant distinctive of Messianic Judaism is still what Paul said, which is that we who are Jews are entrusted for preserving and disseminating the oracles of God. Thank you, Lord, for this message, for this time. I thank you for my assistance as well. In the name of Yeshua, amen.